meeting will be recorded and made public in due course, apart from any items which have to be confidential pursuant to the Local Government Act. I ask councillors whether they foresee any item on the agenda where they might have a conflict of interest. Not being any, would somebody like to move on block the confirmation of the minutes of the last General Council meeting and the three communications reports? Councillor Pryor, seconded Councillor No.
I don't agree with the minutes or change or suggest.
Oh, sorry, before we go ahead then, with the minutes of the Council meeting, we better take these one by one then. So scrap that. We're just taking the confirmation of the minutes. Would you like to identify first, Councillor Crossland, where you would like to see something different? Which page number for us, please? And if there is anything like this, of course, just for future reference, if you do notice anything like this in future, you can always let the Mayor or indeed other councillors know after the draft minutes are published. So page 13. Right, so I've got the top of page 13, point of order, opposed, challenged, and then a motion of dissent. So what do you say is wrong about that?
So it states at the top of that page that the breach was because the Mayor allowed the Councillor to move the motion without Councillors having questions. That's incorrect. Councillors already had their hand up before Councillor Telfer even put a hand up. We took the motion and then we were going to go to a seconder, and still the people who had their hands up even before Councillor Telfer weren't given the chance to ask questions or raise a procedural motion.
I'm still struggling to see from that how you say there was a breach of the meeting regulations.
Well, we voted on it and there wasn't a breach, but the way it's worded in what the point of order was is not the way, it's not correct.
So what do you say was the breach of procedures?
The breach of procedures was that when that motion, we had the confidential section, and then when the motion was being put, there were a number of people already had their hands up. Councillor Telfer then put her hand up and you went straight to her. She moved the motion, we still had our hands up, and you moved to look for somebody to second the motion, still knowing there's people waiting to ask questions.
So,
as in we were ignored and not given the procedural fairness.
That isn't that what it says?
No.
The Mayor allowed a councillor to move a motion, which is factual, without councillors having asked questions beforehand. You wanted to ask questions before the moving of the motion, but the Mayor called on someone and that councillor properly moved a motion, and so the Mayor allowed that councillor to continue to move and speak to the motion.
And then you moved again, ignoring the people that still had their hands up, you were looking for a seconder.
So again, your complaint seems to be that questions weren't asked beforehand.
No, that the people who had their hands up before any other councillor weren't given the option to speak.
Well,
moving a motion.
As a matter of general education, it's up to the chair to call whoever the chair wants to call. So it's actually not a race of who puts their hands up first. As a matter of fact, I can tell you that at the time I looked up, there was only one hand up and it was Councillor Telfer. And that was when I called upon her and she said she wanted to move a motion and I allowed her to continue. So whether their hands up before that or after that is immaterial. And even if there were hands up at the same time, it's immaterial because the chair gets to choose who he calls to speak in the debate or the proceedings generally. So there's even less of a point of order now that you've explained it, than what we have in the minutes, which is making it difficult to know how those minutes are wrong.
I think the minutes that were first published were more accurate than the ones that were amended.
Well, I've asked you to explain what you say the breach of proceedings was, but it seems to now be that you weren't chosen to speak. So if there were several hands up and the mayor chose someone else to speak, that seems to be your grievance.
And then after that, you went back again looking for someone else, even though the same people.
And we should also note, since we're on the public record, that you subsequently did have the chance to ask every question you wanted to ask once the motion was moved and seconded. So I'm really struggling, councillor. Well, it's now up to you to... I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll call for someone to move acceptance of the minutes and a seconder, and then you have the option to move an amendment, which would include the wording that you prefer to page 13. Would somebody like to move confirmation of the minutes? Councillor Bilescu, is that seconded? Councillor Hoffman, and you have an amendment, Councillor... Crossland.
Yes, please.
Councillor, I'll go back. Councillor Bilescu wished to speak to the motion.
I guess moving as is, I think we really need to look at just there was the chair was questioned, there was a challenge, it was put to us, there was no breach. We suspended standing orders to do the question. We moved on. I believe we just move on from that and just keep on sort of, working together. I don't feel this adds anything to the dynamic and the goodwill in the room.
Thank you for those... wise comments. Councillor Hoffman, anything to add?
Thank you very much, and through the Chair. Since we have an opportunity to make an amendment, I support Councillor Crossland in providing that amendment.
So, just to check, Councillor Hoffman, you have just seconded the motion to confirm the minutes. Do you still wish to do that?
Yes, I do.
Very good.
So that we can continue with this procedure.
Very well. That's all. Did you want to say anything else? Because it's your only chance to speak in the debate.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
Very well. Then it's open for anyone to speak against or in the context of speaking against, move an amendment. Councillor Crossland. Yes, go ahead.
The amendment is the point of order, and it should have the words the breach that was stated at the time was that members had their hands up quite clearly from the outset and were ignored. The councillor moved the motion, and then the mayor moved the second, but again was ignoring the same people who still had their hands up.
Right. Well, now what I'm reluctant to agree to in terms of that being in order is the commentary. So it should be a factual statement about how the regulations are breached. That's what we were trying to determine at that meeting. Well, it's not proper to say that the mayor ignored people.
Well, that was the way in which I thought the point of order was put.
Well, it's not proper as a point of order. Well, it wasn't accepted as such at the time.
That's why you opposed it.
No, there are two different issues. One is saying that there's no substantial complaint. The other is the form of the complaint. And it's not proper to include insinuations against another elected member, be it the mayor or a councillor, in the course of moving a motion or a procedural point. So that's why at the time I said you need to state how the procedures are being breached. And it needs to be in language which relates to the regulations, not just that the mayor was ignoring people. For example, that things were done in the wrong sequence, or that there was a right to ask a question which was not upheld, something like that. But
the original wording that we circulated is off screen. Whether that is
So Councillor Crossland, the administration have put on the screen the what was put in the draft agenda, or sorry, the draft minutes after the last meeting, a breach that the mayor called for a mover prior to opening questions to the floor. Now, I had a problem with that in the minutes because it was factually incorrect. The mayor did not call for a mover prior to opening questions to the floor. The mayor called on Councillor Telfer and she moved a motion prior to opening questions to the floor, but that is a different thing. So we can't have that to be factually incorrect, and we can't have it with a negative comment against an elected member. So at the moment, I'm ruling your amendment out of order because you're maintaining an insult to an elected member.
I'm not intending to maintain an insult. I'm trying to correct the minutes because I haven't read correctly about the sequence of events.
Well, then please describe the sequence of events in a neutral, factual manner, as you see it.
Well, I'm open to suggestions because I don't want to repeat something which might offend.
Well, we've tried one suggestion. The problem with me making suggestions is that what I see that happened factually was that the mayor called on Councillor Telfer and she moved a motion. The mayor permitted the councillor to move and speak to the motion before asking the meeting generally if there were questions.
I'm happy with that wording.
All right, can we do that?
I missed that.
Anyone got a recording of that? Okay, in that the mayor called on, I think we have to name names, Councillor Telfer. Comma, who moved a motion, comma, and the mayor permitted the councillor to move and speak to the motion before asking the councillors generally if they had any questions about the subject matter. Councillor Crossland? Very good. So that amendment is in order. Would you like to speak to the amendment?
No, thank you.
Someone like to second the amendment? Councillor Naismith? Did you wish to speak further, Councillor Naismith?
No.
Then does anyone wish to speak in favour of the original motion? Councillor Pryor?
This is an amendment, so it's got to be put straight away, I think. But the statement's got a typo in it. And speak to the motion.
The AN should be an AND, but Councillor Pryor is quite right about the order. I was just taking a liberal approach on that occasion. There is an amendment that the words now on the screen become the corrected minutes. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, raise your hand. I'll have the vote again because there was some uncertainty. The original minutes spoke of the Mayor allowing a councillor to move a motion without councillors having asked questions beforehand. So the motion before us is that the minutes be confirmed with that wording. The amendment has the effect of replacing that with the wording that's now on the screen, that the Mayor permitted the councillor to move and speak to the motion before asking the councillors generally if they had any questions about the subject matter. So it's a matter of if you think that should replace what's currently in our meeting agenda tonight, then you vote yes. If you thought the original minutes were fine, then you vote no to the amendment. I will now put the amendment again. Those in favour, raise your hand. Those against, raise your hand. And that is carried. So does anyone wish to speak any further to the debate about confirming the minutes? No, then I will put the motion to confirm the minutes of the last General Council meeting with the change that has been incorporated. All those in favour, raise your hand. Carried unanimously. Thank you. Now, there is a question about whether any elected member wishes to make a verbal report to the meeting. But it's a blessed relief since we have a long night ahead of us. There being no such report, would someone like to move on block the receipt of the mayoral and chief executive and executive communication reports? Moved Councillor Pryor, seconded Councillor Singh. If there's no other commentary, all those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. Now we have a deputation and we have former councillor Matt Schilling to come forward. Coming forward as a resident of the southern part of the council in relation to irrigation. Thank you, Mr. Schilling. You know how it works. You have 5 minutes.
Thank you, Mayor Hannah, councillors and council staff. Thank you for allowing me to speak this evening regarding the motion put forward by Councillor Crossland on irrigation and maintenance of reserves. A couple of my neighbours are here tonight in support of this motion as well. Recently, as neighbours, we've started a neighbours group and have begun organising regular catch-ups like evening drinks and weekend meet-ups at the park. However, the reserve we wish to use has been neglected by council. I recently wrote to the Mayor on behalf of my neighbours about Peter Court Reserve in O'Halloran Hill. I'm aware our local MP, Aaron Thompson, has also written multiple times and other neighbours have contacted Aaron or council directly. The response I received from the Mayor noted that a bench would be installed, which we welcome. However, we were advised that no irrigation, landscaping or further maintenance would occur at Peter Court Reserve, as our homes fall within 500 metres of another reserve that has a playground, irrigation and facilities, which is a council policy. Although I have an understanding of why this policy is in place, unfortunately this policy doesn't take into account main roads that block easy or safe access to a reserve. My neighbours and I live on the northern side of Lander Road, while the reserve mentioned in the Mayor's response, Christopher Grove Reserve, is on the southern side. There are no pedestrian crossing points except for the South Road lights. There is also no footpath on the northern side of Lander Road from Matthew Street till about 30 metres before the South Road lights. Due to the hills in this area of Lander Road, crossing is difficult, especially for young families. Peter Court Reserve is the main entry point to our side of the suburb, and right now it's a dust bowl and in winter it's full of weeds. I have witnessed council staff mowing the reserve in summer and it is just a dust cloud. A local family has installed their own footy goals as it's one of the few flat areas available in our area. However, it is not a pleasant area for them to play. This is a reserve that we as neighbours would like to see irrigated and maintained. In the report before you, the motion proposes the inclusion of 53 new reserves over the next 5 to 6 years at an estimated ongoing cost of $700,000 per year. The majority of these reserves are in the southern part of the council area, which doesn't have access to Purple Pipe or the reclaimed water from the Oaklands wetlands like reserves in the northern parts of the councils. In my view, the money saved from not irrigating northern reserves on mains water should be used to irrigate and maintain more reserves in the south, but I understand that's not that simple. In the 22-23 financial year, Marion had just under 45,000 rateable properties. The ongoing cost of $700,000 per year equates to roughly $3.90 per quarter per rateable property. As a resident, I'd be willing to accept that small increase in order to have a maintained area that beautifies and enhances my neighbourhood. Before ongoing costs begin, there are, of course, upgrade and planning expenses. However, spread over several years, these should be manageable for council, especially if successful at gaining a Green Adelaide grant, which are always readily available. While I recognise that council has many competing financial priorities, reserves benefit the majority of residents. Sporting facilities and other community infrastructure have their place, but they don't impact as many people on a day-to-day basis. Personally, I rarely access sport facilities, libraries or neighbourhood centres, but I regularly use local reserves, walkways and open space for exercise, walking my dog or simply reading. When I speak to neighbours, they often express that maintaining reserves should be considered core council business. Maintaining reserves aligns with your strategic plan for creating a livable and sustainable community. The three key points I'd like to highlight are: we will create and maintain safe, attractive and accessible public place and facilities. We protect, restore and connect to the natural environment, building resilience to climate change. We'll create and maintain safe, attractive and accessible public places and facilities. While I commend the Council for its annual tree planting program and efforts to increase canopy cover to assist with cooling our suburbs, greening our reserves through lawn, landscaping and irrigation is also a crucial part of cooling our suburbs. As we all know, green grass is significantly cooler than dead grass, concrete or dry dirt. However, maintaining reserves also increases habitat and insects for wildlife. Thank you for your time, and I hope to see the motion supported by Council this evening. I'm happy to take any questions if time permits.
Well, thank you, ex-Councillor Schilling, and thank you for your balanced approach. Little bit of time left. Any questions, Councillor Villescu?
I'm just wondering, obviously for residents that do walk around the area, do you think there's any improvements in the footpaths and any issues with the paving in that area?
Off the top of my head, because I walk about 4Ks of that area every day, there are a few areas. There's a stretch on Lander Road from the Southern Expressway Bridge up to Drysdale that could be repaired. It also gets covered in berries, and I've slipped quite a few times on that footpath. So I'd hate to think what an older person of our community would do. Obviously, I'm a lot younger than some members of our community. But yes, I think there's always room for footpaths to be improved.
Right, I think there was one more question, Councillor Masika.
Your worship, it wasn't a question, it was just a statement towards, if you allow me to do that. It was just a...
Well, it's not the normal procedure. Have you got something really, really quick that you have to get off your chest?
No, I wanted to congratulate the former Councillor Schillings for your presentation. It's been hit, spot on. And what you said is what we believe should happen. And there are so many benefits with those parks, if reserves, if they're green, they are, mental health and well-being for the residents and also for the environment, for biodiversity and everything.
Thank you, Councillor. Those will be matters for the debate. Mr. Schilling, you can take the place back in the... I've got one more question. Yes? But it's not about footpaths, this will be about irrigation, will it?
This one is about irrigation. I just wanted to know where on the matrix, at some point, if we could find out where on the matrix Peter Court starts sits.
We've got someone from the open space area who has that information handy.
Coming back in June.
Not at this point, but we will in June. I know there's further work being done on prioritisation. And Council's expecting to receive a report back in June. So watch this space.
Thank you.
Thank you. So for those who came from Helleran Hill or thereabouts, you're welcome to stay for the next 2.5 hours, but you're also free to leave any time you wish. Thank you. I move on to committee recommendations. They may be moved en bloc, those two committee reports. Councillor Pryor, seconded Councillor Mates. Now, I will just highlight one aspect of the committee minutes, the Infrastructure and Environment Committee, because one of the recommendations of the committee centred around discussion about irrigation of reserves. And it was noted that the program that is to extend irrigation is currently unfunded in respect of capital cost and ongoing maintenance. A more detailed analysis or ranking of the 53 unirrigated reserves is required to assist council with their assessment of the reserves. The program would be deferred until the open space plan due for review was a possibility that was discussed, and limitations of the current decision-making tool were discussed, requiring further discussion and investigation. So the intention then was to bring the matter back, and there was actually a motion of the committee that was passed requiring further information, and administration is going to provide a revised irrigation support tool matrix, in other words, to help make decisions, in other words, considering the inclusion of factors such as demonstrated community demand, we've heard some of that tonight, availability of purple pipe supply, that's from the Oaklands wetlands, capital costs, operating costs, current open space planning in relation to the 53 proposed sites, and that's to come back to a general council meeting in June 2025. So I thought that would be of interest to the members of the public present. Having said that, I've had a mover and a seconder. Anyone speaking to either of those reports? Councillor Belescu?
I've just got a question. How does that impact on the motion with notice in regards to the irrigated reserves?
Well, that's really a question for Councillor Crossland to consider. Right. At the moment, we deal with what's on the paper, but we're all aware, including Councillor Crossland, of that recommendation of the committee. If there's nothing further, I'll put those two committee recommendations, committee minutes, to the vote for confirmation. All those in favour, raise your hand. Yes, that's carried unanimously. Very well. We now come to some confidential matters. So our usual practice is to, first of all, test whether we're going into confidence. There are four separate reports recommending we go into confidential discussion in relation to meetings of committees, but also the Raglan Avenue streetscape and Glandore Oval redevelopment. The latter two at least involve sums of money that we need to discuss behind closed doors. So those four items could be moved en bloc. Councillor Telfer, seconded Councillor Hoffman. If there's no further discussion, all those in favour, raise your hand. That is carried unanimously. So to explain for members of the public, we now go into a confidential session, and it may be an opportune time to leave, or you could come back into the room in, guessing about half an hour or so. This is the order of business, so regrettably we're going to ask members of staff as well, not directly related to the motions at hand, to depart for a short time, and we'll have a discussion behind closed doors. Go on to page 48, and the doors can be opened, and could staff make a point of inviting back in members of the public if they are still there. We deal with membership of the Finance, Risk and Audit Committee in light of Councillor Naismith's resignation, and congratulations on your new position, Councillor, elsewhere. The question is anyone interested in moving on to that committee? Councillor Luscombe, thank you. Well, there being no other takers, sorry, are there any other takers? Oh, I saw the hand go up quickly. That's very efficient. It's not a paid position, so there's no need to leave the room or anything. But, so moved Councillor Pryor, seconded Councillor Crossland before there's any second thoughts. No other speakers. All those in favour, raise your hand. It's carried unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well done, Councillor Lusson. As they say in politics, you had the numbers for that one. Discretionary rebates. So we've had, I just remind councillors that this motion was in a previous agenda, wasn't reached. There have been a couple of emails, I know one from Councillor Luscombe with a variation of you expressed by Councillor Velescu as well. But shall we start if there are any questions or anything like that, Councillor Velescu? Is that seconded? No. Councillor Masika, it is a case where there might be a few permutations. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. So I suppose the questions are, first of all, any changes? Secondly, if there are changes, are we going for... I guess there are basically two options. One is to cut everything down to the minimum. The other one is to cut everything down to a consistency. And then on top of that, there might be other variations people might want to suggest. So we're now in an informal situation. We're not actually taking a vote, but I just to know where to take this in terms of discussion, can I just have a show of hands informally? Who thinks there shouldn't be any change to the current situation, the current listing we've got? All right, so people are interested in some change. There is what might be called a minimal approach. Now, never mind the timing, whether it's this year or next year, but how many people are interested in reducing discretionary rebates, when in fact removing all discretionary rebates? That would be option 3C in the agenda. Who's interested in that? Got a few hands. I've got five hands going up there. And if there is to remain discretionary rebates, who of you then think that they should all be on a consistent basis, like whether it be a 25 or 50% or something? No? So those people who can I hear from, again, we're under suspended standing orders, but can I hear from people who want more than the minimum but something different from what we have now? So I want to explore those possibilities. Councillor Velescu, then Councillor Luscombe.
Look, whilst I have a preference for keeping the status quo, I would have concerns for us reducing any of these, maybe apart from the discretionary rebate for the first item of the 25% for that sort of a sporting place. But all the others I wouldn't wish to change. We've got a food bank, which will basically mean I have to find another 3,600 to help people that are facing financial hardship, and you know a lot of people are. You've got the RSL that will have to find an extra $1,200 to help Councillor, return soldiers. Velescu,
sorry, Councillor. I'm just at the moment interested in an outline of what your principles or what your percentages are, not the individual cases.
Well, I think the individual cases are important. But
your proposal then is how is it different from the current arrangement?
The only one, if we are to go against the status quo, the only one I would sort of see as us removing would be that sole discretional 25% category and keeping all the others the same, which includes the mandatory 75 and discretionary 25 to stay the same.
Yeah, obviously mandatory stays the same. I should have put another question. I'll get to Councillor Luscombe in a moment. But at the moment, who's in favour of the modification which is in Clause 1 of on the agenda, page 52? Not getting too many takers there either.
Sorry, could I ask that just to be clarified what you mean?
Well, the Clause 1, as I understand it, is something of a clarification of our current list of discretionary rates. It's a codification based on certain principles, which we don't have at the moment. It's just purely historical anomaly at the moment.
What are you calling Clause 1?
It's the entirety of Clause 1 with A, B, C, D and E as a package.
Sorry.
There's obviously some... put your hand up if you're interested in that. Okay, I've got a couple. All right, I'm just taking these into account at the moment as we go along. Councillor Luscombe, what was your view? Again, without debating the details, but your principles.
My primary concern is related to Clause 2. Do you want me to talk about that yet?
You mean the timing?
Yes.
Okay. Throw it into the mix.
Okay, through the chair. I'm happy to engage in debate about Clause 1 as well, but I guess my main issue was with regards to whatever we decide for Clause 1, I think it's really important to apply that criteria for existing recipients from the year 2026 to 2027 right. onwards.
Yeah.
And so the reason for that is so that it gives them 12 months.
14 months notice, not 2 months.
Yeah, because if we only give them 2 months notice, you're thinking they would have already done their budget. And for a small organisation, that's a huge thing just to land on your desk. So that would be my caution about Clause 2 there, that just to make it apply to the next financial year rather than this current one.
And sorry, when I was talking about a minimal approach, I went to an extreme in a sense of removing all rebates, but I should have also put to you the Clause 3 as a package. So that is, if you like, the minimal package with a graded decrease, if you see that over 3 years. So eventually it would take out all three. Who's interested in that package? Okay, so that is probably the motion that we'll go with. It's a question of whether year one becomes this financial year coming or the following one. Mm. So basically, I'm going to invite someone to move that as a motion, but the question is, we still have informal standing orders. Who has a preference for giving 14 months notice as opposed to 2 months notice, and who wants to bring it in straight? So 14 months, put your hand up. So most people are sort of inclined that way. So we probably just need some help from staff potentially. And we could replace in the wording of Clause 3. Well, how would you do it?
Commencing 2026.
Okay, so where it says 3 year period, we can insert there commencing in 2026-27. And then year 1, 2, 3 follows. Okay, so would anyone like to move that? We now have formal procedures again. Councillor Crossland. Yes, you wanted to speak to it?
Oh, look, very briefly, I think this is a good idea. It's been something we've looked at over a few years, and we've had people come to us that do similar services where they've not been given discretionary rate. I think this will actually make sure that we're being equitable and just stick to the mandatory rebates.
Is that seconded? Councillor Telfer?
I
I believe that we need to stay with the mandatory rebates.
Yes, and they're not in issue tonight, are they, Mr. Barnwell?
No.
Then is anyone speaking against the motion? Councillor Velescu.
Look, I'm speaking against the motion. I would have liked to at least have some sort of grandfathering clause for people with a current amount. I'm not in favour of us taking money out of some of these organisations, in particular, you know, your food bank, RSL, Sunedin Special School. It's only a few thousand dollars. I do understand members do want to have some sort of uniform policy, but I'm not comfortable for such a small amount relative to the budget. I'm not comfortable us clawing that back at this point. So hopefully we get, you know, we can move forward maybe in the next budget and reconsider our decision if this passes.
Any other speakers in favour? Then, Councillor Crossland, anything to finish with?
Just responding to Councillor Velescu. We could give discretionary rebates to very many great causes in the City of Marion. Then that will start adding up to a lot of money. I think this way it becomes much fairer, and it's a bit like we don't really have a right to give away ratepayers' money to different charitable organisations. If they want to give away money, I think that's their choice, not council to collect it and then give it away.
I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, carried by majority. Thank you. So a division is called, so all those in favour, could you please stand for the moment? And those in favour are Councillors Crossland, Singh, Mates, Naismith, Telfer, Pryor, Taylor and Hoffman. Those against are, I said in favour, didn't I? Those against are Councillors Luscombe, Velescu and Masika. The motion is carried by majority. So thank you for that. Now we can move on to page 57, the streetscape plan. And I know there are a couple of major issues with that. I think we'll need staff probably to answer some questions. Councillor Velescu, would you like to go first?
No, I would like to move, suspend standing orders if people support that.
There are a few aspects to this. Is that seconded? Councillor Pryor? All those in favour? Those against? Carried by a majority. So, the two issues that I can identify, one is to do with the budget and cost, and the other is to do with the designs that are contained in Attachment 2, because I'm aware that some questions have been raised about whether those designs are really desirable. In relation to the budget, it has been explained that if you take $2.2 million per year, which Council said could be accumulated, so over 4 years, that's $8.8 million. Only $8.3 million is proposed to be used of that, but it's in the first 3 years. So there are two ways of looking at it. You can say that's 4 years' worth, and it just happens to be spent in the next 3 years, or you can say that Council's intention, when it said $2.2 million per year budget, was that by the end of 3 years, you'd have $6.6 million accumulated, but we're spending $8.3 million according to the proposal. So that doesn't add up. What do staff say about that?
It's actually 8.3 over 4 years. In 25-26, it's $1.2 million for Newland. In 26-27, it's Adams, which is $4.1 million. So effectively, Adams is using 2 years' worth of allocation, but the project will commence in 26-27. And then there's no nominated spending for 27-28, but in 28-29 there's another $3 million proposed for Norfolk. So it's still 8.3 million over the span of four financial years, because Adams is using, if you like, 2 years worth of funding.
Okay, and there's a gap year in year.
There's three. A gap year of 27-28.
Other questions?
Thank you, Worship. I'd like to start by saying, look, the report is very good, it's very clear. And I have one question which is troubling me. I understand when this came up, the Perry Bar Road was part of this four, but the other one was left out because of the financial constraints. So in 4 years' time, let's say after 2029, we come back with other streets, including Perry Bar. Do you have a set of criteria which can guarantee Perry Bar won't be dropped again for the second time because of financial constraints?
I think I can answer that rather than administration, because it's a political question, really, and the incoming council after the next election will absolutely have the opportunity to decide that. And actually, this council can't really bind the next council either way. So there is no guarantee other than returning and advocating for it in the next council. Any other questions at the moment? Councillor Crossland.
And for other councillors, what is our strike rate for getting grant funding for some of these projects? I know in the past we've definitely had some grant funding, but I didn't know how many of our previous streetscaping projects had been successful in grant applications.
Through the chair, we've been quite fortunate with receiving grant applications, particularly for the Marion Triangle with the local roads community infrastructure grant. In addition to that, we received special local roads funding for Alawuna Avenue, which was recently completed. So we've been quite successful with our grants.
Was there another question, Councillor Velasco?
Yeah, just in regards to Adams Road, are we going to be using pavers for that, or is that going to be concrete for the footpath section? I've got a couple of questions related to it.